Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are about to wrap up that section in 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter talks about his approaching death. It's in verses 12 through 15, and there are a lot of good lessons there. We have seen, for example, the beneficial practice of purposeful repetition. We have seen the beneficial effect of death reminders. But there's one more lesson that we need to learn from this section before we leave it behind and move on to verse 16, where we're going to find a treasure chest of truth that will be beneficial to our souls. And so the section we're looking at and completing today is 2 Peter 1:12 and following. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So on this Thursday, November 27, as we gather together around the Word of God and are mindful that it is the gifts of our radio listeners that makes it possible for us to do this, we're going to take a look at the last lesson, which is the exalted position of inscripturated revelation. Well, that's a mouthful, if there ever was one, but I think it's important that we work our way through this. The exalted position of inscripturated revelation. And that I find in verse 15, and I go back to it now, where Peter says, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." Now we recognize that Peter was indeed an apostle, and he had faithfully proclaimed the Word of God throughout his lifetime, and he is doing so here, unapologetically repeating truth and telling them that he's repeating it for their benefit, reminding them of truths which they have already known. But what Peter is also doing is preparing his legacy for his departure, his apostolic legacy. And what is it that he intends to leave behind? When you think about your life, your legacy, what are you thinking about? Many people think about the material wealth that they leave behind. That's their legacy. I'm going to leave a legacy to my children and grandchildren to help them get a better start in life than I had. And there's nothing intrinsically wrong with that, though there are some cautionary reminders that many times that kind of benefit turns out not to be so beneficial. As we've all seen, families wrangling over the estate, and have all seen people who depended upon the benefit of an estate rather than applying themselves diligently to whatever their opportunities and abilities allowed them to work at in order to get along in life. There's some people who would much rather live off the wealth of others, live off the substance of others than they would to earn their own way. And sometimes leaving a legacy is not a good thing. It encourages children to be irresponsible. It doesn't make them irresponsible, and it doesn't always work that way, thankfully, but it does allow some to be irresponsible that otherwise would not be able to. Maybe I should put it that way. Some people will only be as responsible as they are forced to be. They don't seem to have that inward motivation to just work hard and take care of things and do the best they can and leave the results to God. But no, they are looking for a way, an easy way out, an easy way not to have to work hard, not to exert themselves. And sometimes a financial legacy allows them to do what is not beneficial for them. In fact, beyond that, it often encourages people to get into alcohol and drugs and gambling and other vices that, again, they wouldn't be able to afford if they hadn't been given this legacy. It's the same sort of thing that happens sometimes when people win the lottery. We've all observed that probably more often than not, people who win the lottery don't have anything just 2 or 3 years later. Incredible. But it happens quite often. Now, sometimes we don't know that because nobody follows up to tell us what happened. But every now and then we'll get that story about somebody who won the lottery, won several million dollars, and 3 years later they're absolutely broke and in poverty and depending upon government assistance and so forth. How does that happen? Well, I just explained it to you. The winning of the lottery was not beneficial to them. It allowed them to have a big whoopee and then actually ended up making their life worse. We see the same thing a lot of times with professional athletes who are very talented and make a big salary, and they make multi-millions of dollars over the years, sometimes the rather short years of their career, which can easily be cut short because of injury, and then they're broke. Very shortly after, they're broke. Their money's all gone. There was no thought, no planning, no investment, no savings, no discipline. They blew it all. And it does seem a shame, doesn't it, to work hard and do well financially and then leave it to people who don't want to work hard and who are encouraged in their sloth and poor management because of the legacy you left behind. That's not the best legacy to leave. You better give some long and careful thought to how you are going to disperse your assets if you have anything substantial to pass along. You really need to give that a lot of thought and think in terms of how it will be most beneficial rather than harmful to your children or grandchildren. But some people realize that the biggest legacy that they can leave, the best legacy that they can leave, is not financial, but it is a legacy of loving the Lord, a legacy of a Christian testimony, a faithful testimony of living for Christ, serving Christ, loving Christ, loving the Word of God, and leaving that for their children. And I would agree that that is a better legacy than a financial one. Again, not all financial legacies are harmful. They don't have to be. And there's no reason that the financial legacy and the Christian legacy cannot both be passed on. But if they are, let's hope and pray that it is the Christian legacy that is the most significant one in the minds of your children and grandchildren and not the other way around. Now, Peter's legacy is more like number two than number one. He certainly didn't have any silver or gold to pass on, I don't think. He certainly doesn't mention it. But in his case, there's something even more precious than that. It is to leave behind the inscripturated revelation of God. In other words, because Peter was an apostle and was selected to write books in the Bible, he is leaving behind Scripture, not just a testimony to his faith in the Word of God, but he's actually leaving the Word of God. What a legacy. And that's what he's saying in verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And what is he talking about? He's talking about this epistle that he's leaving behind as his legacy. A faithful written testimony to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And it turns out to be Peter's epistle. And this is a good bridge to the next section, verses 16 and following, which is a wonderful, powerful section on the supremacy of Scripture. But Peter's laying the introduction for that in simply saying that this is what I want to leave you when I die. I want to leave you with the Word of God. I want to leave you with eternal truth. I want to leave you with divine revelation written down, inscripturated revelation. Peter had heard the words of Christ coming from his very own lips. He was, after all, one of the disciples of Christ, and that is one of the qualifications to become an apostle, is having been taught by Christ personally. Peter had that. He'd heard the words of Christ himself. That was the revelation of God's truth to him. Furthermore, he had seen some other incredible divine revelations, as, for example, when he was one of the three in the inner circle that were taken up upon the Mount of Transfiguration, and he saw Jesus Christ transfigured. He saw his divine glory, his deity, shining through his humanity, through his clothes, through his skin, through his bodies. He saw the Shekinah glory of God coming out from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the inside out. That, talk about a divine revelation. Whoa! That's one that is just about at the top of the list as far as ranking divine revelations go. But Peter said, the legacy I want to leave you is neither the audible voice of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, or even the audible voice of God the Father speaking from heaven as at the baptism of Christ, and I'm sure Peter heard that as well, nor is it to tell you that I saw this incredible transfiguration of Jesus Christ and the Shekinah glory of Christ shining through his body. But what I want you to have when I leave is a copy of the written Word of God. I want you to have a Bible. That's what I leave with you. That's the most important thing that I can leave with you. That's the legacy that I want to leave, because that's the most important legacy that I could possibly leave. And indeed it was. Most of us can't leave a legacy like that because we're not an apostle, but he was, and what a legacy he left behind. Think on these things and join me again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.